Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not afraid. Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. Be trying to get out. Just follow me. I'll get there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing harm. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. The world beat it jeans. It's gassed up. Everything's stopping me. I'm gonna be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No one fans the bus, I'm trying to ask him why. How can he? From infinite down to the last relapsed album, he still. And whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he just bows out of him, whichever comes first, for better or worse. He's married to the game, like a fuck you for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the earth to pull it from the dirt. It's the whole universe.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. Just take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
I shouldn't have to rhyme these words in the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. But that's your feelings. Instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last we laughed. CD was there, perhaps I ran them accents into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back, click, clack, clap. Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how.
Live in the building, and you know the Street Queens, the movement, and tonight we're talking about 9/11. We're giving a tribute to 9/11 and tributing all of the soldiers that died in 9/11. 9/11 is coming up soon, it's this week. A lot of soldiers lost their lives going into the battle for 9/11. A lot of people lost their lives in the Twin Towers, which ignited the whole Iraq war. And we want to touch bases on that. We want to know, where were you at? You know, where were you at exactly when 9/11 happened? Were you in the military? Were you not in the military? Did you have family that were in the Twin Towers? And we have to remember, guys, that it wasn't just Americans. It was also, you know, people were talking about race and stuff. You had some people that were Muslims in the Trade Center that died. So I really feel like 9/11 wasn't, you know, actually, you know, a Muslim thing. It's something that affected everybody, you know, that day. I myself, per se, was just coming out of, you know, from training and everything, and, you know, training and everything, and I saw the Twin Towers hit, and I was like, we're going to war. And I already knew that it was, you know, I needed to brace myself and get ready that we're going to war because, you know, that was, you know, what was perceived to us was that it was an attack on our country. But, you know, we know the powers that be it always lets us see what we want to see or what they want us to see. And we remember 9/11 and we send a tribute to, you know, the people who have lost people out there. To bring you back, you know, the locations of, you know, of the attacks. The biggest one, you know, on September 11th, it was September 11th, it was a Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. September 11th this year falls on a Saturday this year. And it was between the times of 2:45 a.m. to 10:28 a.m. And there were aircraft jackings, mass murder, suicide attack. Allegedly the deaths were, victims were 2,977 victims. It was 19 hijackers, 6,000 plus injured. They believe it was Al-Qaeda that was, responsible for it, Osama bin Laden. Remember it struck, if, you know, we have Ground Zero right now in New York City, which was actually the place of the Twin Towers, that was in New York City, which was our World Trade Center. It burned down, it was attacked by allegedly a plane. Still to this day, we don't see where the remains of the plane are or the black box, but allegedly that's what they said. And it also hit the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and also near Shankville, Pennsylvania. So there were three planes that crashed. 9/11, you know, was such a big thing. It was right there on the news that, you know, We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you see the Twin Towers going down, and all you can do is just take a breath and say, like, yo, like, what's really going on right now? You know, so we're remembering 9/11. Where were you at when 9/11 happened? Were you a soldier? Do you have any soldier that are friends, or you had any family members that were there? I had actually an uncle that actually worked in there, and luckily he didn't have to go to work that day, but a lot of people lost their lives, and it was a devastating moment for America itself and people all over, you know, apparently Al-Qaeda was responsible for it. Both buildings collapsed within 2 hours of the Twin Towers, destroying nearby buildings and damaging others. Everybody on board of the planes that were on the planes died. In the rural Pennsylvania, some of the passengers and crew attempted to retake control. That was the one that was in Pennsylvania, Shankville, where the people on the plane were refused to be taken over, and they tried to retaliate against the people. The death toll, like they said, was attack was like 2,996, but you know the numbers vary. Including nations, the casualties of civilians, including nations of over 70 countries, because the World Trade Center, that's where all the international people came, you know, to work. I mean, it was really crazy. So call in at 347-826-7722. And also on November 8th, Flight 93 has a national memorial when they crashed the plane and everything like that. The Pentagon has a memorial, and you know, we have Ground Zero. It was a big massacre, a lot of damage, and a lot of people were hurt. So call it at 347-826-7722 and tell us where were you when 9/11 hit for you, and let's talk about it on Street Queens, the movement. Peace, Queen. Emma, how you doing today, Sue? Peace.
It's blessed, I guess, to be able to say I've lived another day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a blessing. You know, we got some more callers on the line, but Emma, tell us where were you at when you first heard the news about September 11th?
I was living in the Bronx, 182nd Street, my old apartment, and I had just taken my son, Bebo, at the time. I think he was in fourth grade, something like that. And I just dropped him off at school. I had my godson with me, Romeo, was about a year and a half. I don't even think he was 2 years old. I was with him. I came back up my steps. I usually, when I come up with him, I turn on the cartoons for him, and I give him his bottle, and he lays there. And I was really tired that day because the day before, I hung out, so I was like, I need a nap. You know, I need a serious nap. So I was thinking about just taking a little hour, 2 hour nap while he watches his cartoons, and you know, and I'm good money. I laid down, I let him do that. My phone then started ringing off the hook. And it must have been, it was right before the second one, because I got to see the second one on the TV. I got a phone call, and they were like, yo, you don't know this is what happened, a plane. Well, I was like, what? They were like, put on the news. So I changed from the cartoon to the news, and just as I changed it, they were talking about it, and that's when I seen the second plane hit. At that time, I thought it was the first one. I didn't know that was the second one. And when I seen that, it was just so unreal. I thought I was watching, like, I thought they were, like, punking. The media was punking us or something, because I'm like, this don't happen. Like, are you serious? Like, no, this don't happen. I don't even know what I'm watching. And as soon as I seen that, I know out my window, I heard people like screaming and people were yelling in the hallway in my building. I'm like, oh my God. I thought the world was coming to an end. And so I just grabbed my godson. I ran down the steps. Thank God my son's school was right across the street, PS91. And I ran right up in there. And I went right into my son's class and grabbed my son. They were like, oh, you can't. I said, you better get off my son. I grabbed him. And then you see all the parents running, you know, because like I said, the school was right across the street from me. So I got to be there a little sooner than, I guess, other parents. And all the parents just started bombarding and grabbing their kids. I mean, it was just chaos.
It was pandemonium,
it was
chaos.
Yeah, it was just chaos. Everybody was just yelling. People thought that, you know, planes were coming to just bomb us. I mean, it was just,
yeah.
Everybody's mind is wild. And my thought was, you know, if I'm going to die, at least I'm with my son. And at that time, you know, all I had was him. And I was with my god baby as well. I went back up there to my apartment ready to die. True story.
Wow.
I just sat there with him and I just started praying. Like, you know, if we were going to get bombed or whatever, then I was with my son and that was it.
Wow, that's real talk right there. We got a caller from the 646, and we got Bugsy also from the 857. 646, go first. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Who were you when 9/11 happened?
Hello?
Hello, 646?
Hello. Yeah, that's Rose.
Oh, hey, Rose, what's up? What's up, Rose?
Nothing, chilling. What's up?
What's up with you, Rose? Rose is our wonderful intern. She definitely works hard for us out here at Lush Radio.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, Rose, where were you at on 9/11? Where were you doing, or what were you doing when you heard the info about 9/11 and the planes hit?
I was in elementary school, right? I was in my first day of school. I remember vividly because my school was right across right across the water from Manhattan, mm-hmm. so I could see the smoke from Manhattan. So, mm-hmm. but it was crazy because my grandma was in the hospital and we couldn't really go see her because everybody was saying don't take the subways. The subways are dangerous. The bus is dangerous. Like all public transportation was cut off. And then my cousin George, he was in the army at that time, so he was then taken to Iraq. So that was like a crazy moment for us when we found out that he was gonna go to Iraq and have to fight the war over there. And I wasn't affected by it as much, thank God, but I do empathize with those who was. And it's just interesting the politics. The politics is interesting about it because George Bush was in office when that happened and his father was in office when it happened earlier in history. So that's interesting. And then how the United States handles tragedies because like Katrina happened 5 years ago and it hasn't had half the aid that 9/11 has in the time that that's happened. So it's crazy how when money's involved, everyone comes to the rescue. But when like just innocent people got hurt, then things are prolonged.
Well, you know, you said that about that, but I mean, I don't really see how they even assisted the people in 9/11 that lost their lives. People still, you know, didn't have jobs and situations with that. The families weren't compensated. Some of the families are still have to deal with the cause of that. Like, it's the same thing, like you said with Katrina. Like, I feel like the government basically made money. If you notice, most of the time the government makes money off of war. They can't make no money unless it's off of war, keeping somebody in debt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, my personal state, I think it was all set up because the way your man Bush acted when they turned on the news, it looked like it didn't faze him, you know, at the time.
That's what I mean. I mean with, like, the whole way that they go about it. Like, the individuals are never going to be assisted. But, like, the whole system overall is going to be assisted. Like, you see the Twin Towers about to be rebuilt quick. Katrina... Uh-huh. They trying to rebuild the city, but they not trying to compensate the people that were affected by it. So I think that it's a messed up system. And they can't go to war for Katrina. They could go to war for 9/11 because it has something to do with another country. That will benefit from if they do invade that country, which they are right now. So they will benefit from helping Katrina. Like, it's all about benefiting. It's never about just genuinely being concerned and helping in the United States. It's mostly about is there profit in this, in what I'm going to do. And if there is, then they all for it. But if it's not, then you know what? You got to help yourself.
It's about the mighty dollar. It's about the mighty dollar.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Bugsy, live from Boston, where were you at when you heard the news about 9/11 and you want to touch on what Rose just stated?
But first let me start off by saying peace to all the queens on the line, you know what I'm saying? Myself, I was actually, you know, chilling with the dudes, having a cipher, you know, bullshitting around, freestyling and all that. And, like Emma, man, my phone went off and, you know, cats was just like, yo, get a plane crash and all this joint out in New York. And I'm just like, nah, you know what I'm saying? It ain't serious. But when cats turned on the news, yeah, I mean, I was just struck. Like, I didn't even know what to say. Like, when something like that happens, you know what I mean? Your mouth just dropped. Like, did that really just happen? You know what I mean? So I was actually... like lost for words when I seen that, man. But I don't know, my view on that is just real crazy because, you know what I mean, like everybody say, you know, they still ain't finding pieces of the black box playing all that. But you know what I mean, as far as the setup part go, I was told actually, like, I wanna say, I don't know if it was like 2 or 3 days before the whole jump off happened, they were saying that the dude that owned the building or whoever owned the building took out an insurance jump off just before it happened. So my joint is like, why would you, you know what I mean, unless you knew something was going to happen to that building days before, why would you take out that insurance policy like that unless you already know something's getting ready to go down? And as far as Bush, my joint is like, he was looking for a reason to go to Iraq and everywhere else, you know what I mean, looking for a reason to get in there so he can do what he do, and I believe that's what started it. And it's real crazy as far as that money part go, like, you know what I mean, like Rose said, you know, there's people in Katrina and everything else that still need that assistance. But they wasting almost $800 billion on a war, you know what I mean? And now you want to try to pull out of their country, you know what I mean? And you think that they just going to let you pull out like that? Yeah, Obama had nothing to do with it, but he's trying to change it. So now that they looking at it like, you done been here all these years, terrorizing us, you know what I'm saying? And you think you're just going to leave, and now they're starting to set off side road bombings and all that. Like, you're just not going to go in their place that easy and just leave that easy. Like, that's not going to happen.
And see, they started, they opened up a can of worms, right? When it first hit, like I was saying earlier in the show, 9/11 hit, and I'm sitting here, I just finished from, like, doing, like, you know, that's when I was slimmer. I just came out of coming back from basic and my AIT and everything, you know. So I finished running and everything. So I came in just to sit down and see what's going on with the TV. I finished coming and working out. So I look at the TV, and I see the plane crash. And I'm telling you, everything was like my heart gas. I'm like, no. I said, this is some surreal stuff right now. And I had to look again, and then I see it hit the Pentagon, because my unit is not too far, is down, is not too far from the Pentagon. The Pentagon's not too far from it. So it hit the Pentagon, and I'm like, yo. And then my grandmother out there in Brooklyn, I'm like, yo, what is going on? I said, yo, we going to war. I said, I might as well just get ready, because we going to go to war. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I freaking go, and then I'm trying to call New York, because my uncle didn't have to go that day to go to work. And, you know, I'm calling New York. All the lines is dead. I don't know if you guys noticed, but all the phones were, like, on busy mode. Like, you couldn't even call New York around
that
time.
Right, it was like New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you couldn't call New York at all. Like, all lines of... All lines was cut off, like, you know how, like, Haiti was with, like, the United States and people call. All lines was cut off. You couldn't call in or out of New York.
Everything
was
totally
shut down.
Only for emergency. Only, like, for the cops, the fire department. Only them were the only ones that could be on the line. Everything was cut off.
And I'm sitting here, and I'm over here. I'm out here, and I'm in the DMV, and I'm like, I'm sitting here, and then, like, I'm over here, and I see a couple of people from my unit. Like, this one girl, she was in my unit. Her father had, they called her, and her father had got, like, gashed on the side of his face. Like, I mean, it was a big old hole over there, you know what I'm saying, in the Pentagon. The Twin Towers plummeted straight down, but then as I started, like, researching the whole situation, and the messed up part of it is they sent the soldiers over there making us feel like as if, you know, we going there to, you know, somebody attacked our land, they're terrorists and stuff like that. But that whole thing was a cover-up for something that the big boys decided they was going to do in the background, doing their oil trade or getting their money and doing money exchanges, just like the mafia do, just like, you know, the crime boss do. It was basically a money exchange, and we were basically the guinea pigs of the situation. You take World War One, World War Two. Half of them ships that went over there to go invade was not meant to be over there. It's all guinea pigs. We always use that guinea pig for a situation for the government to profit. You know what I'm saying? And the messed up thing about it is that they even stated, we went over there, there was no biological weapons at all in Iraq. None. It's still none to this day. The people that they say Al-Qaeda is in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is on the other side. What were we doing in Iraq? That's the question. What were we doing in Iraq? We go to Iraq. We get Saddam Hussein. Saddam didn't even threaten us. You know what I'm saying? And we go over there, and there's no biological weapons. There's nothing that we even should be over there doing. We should be in Afghanistan. That's where all the soldiers should have been deployed to first, you know. And that, it saddened me because it was so many people. You got people who are 17 years old who were sent over there, thought they were only going over there, you know. They were going to, you know, get, you know, compensated for their education and everything like that. And they went over there. And basically what happened with them, they basically, you know, they lost their legs. A lot of the kids lost their legs. The side of their faces were blown off. If you see the people and the casualties that were at Walter Reed, because I was there, it's terrible. It's terrible. It was terrible. just to see the soldiers coming back. They want to give you a purple heart. What is a purple heart? A purple heart is not going to give a soldier their leg back. A person that's 17, 18 years old that hasn't really experienced life and half of their organs are melting inside or half of their head is blown off or their arms is gone. What is a purple heart going to give them back? And then it's like Vietnam because they didn't even get compensated like they were supposed to, you know? It was just, the whole thing was very sad. It was a whole sad situation. And you know, the other thing is the conspiracies. The one that happened in the Pentagon, they said they confiscated all of the videotapings. So why were they so quick? Why was the CIA and them quick to take all the videotapes to cover up what actually happened? What actually hit that you know, hit the Pentagon? Because we don't see any debris. We didn't see a black box. How do we even know what actually truly happened? Because the media only shows what they want us to see. Same thing with the Twin Towers. Twin Towers was a building, a construction, a building that was built to stand impact. Okay, it was built to stand impact. So if it was built to stand impact, with the architect that did it, that built that building, he stated that it was built to stand impact. So and even if a structure like that was hit from the side, only the top part of the structure would be cut off. It wouldn't plummet straight directly down. And they said the beams were severed to the side in a vertical line, and it was severed. And a lot of people, if you listen to the people's voice, you heard boom, boom, boom. A lot of people said they heard explosions right underneath them. So who's not to say they already had explosives set underneath each level of the building to set off at the same time the impact came from that plane to make it seem as if it was the plane that did all the destruction? And who's to say it was a plane? Do you know? That's the question. It's a sad story, you know what I mean? But I mean, we've always been used as guinea pigs in situations like that, you know what I mean? We want you guys to call in at 347-826-7722 and tell us where were you at on 9/11 and how did it affect you and you know, how has the country grown since 9/11? Rose, how do you feel the country has grown since 9/11? I mean, you were a baby, you know what I'm saying, at the time, but how do you feel, you know, it's grown since you know, that time?
I don't feel it's grown in a good way. I think it's grown, the money has grown, like the economy, well, it started to grow even though the economy is bad right now, but the tourism is crazy, like so many more tourists is coming now just to see that, just to see, just experience that. Because it is history. So just to, well, I am really young, so just to experience that, I experienced history, even if it was in a negative way. But I think that it's grown money-wise. Like, it's bringing a lot of money to the economy because of all the tourism. A lot of people want to be a part of that.
That's true. Emma, how do you feel the country has grown?
First, I just want to say that for everybody that's on the line, if you're talking and you're somewhere where you know there's stuff going on, mute your phone so then you give everybody the respect to be heard properly. To answer the question that you asked me, how do I see it grown, I think that just opened up a door for us to get terrorized more because all that did was show our weakness as a country. You know, at the moment, everybody was, you know, yeah, feeling for their brother man, and, you know, everybody was wanted to go beat up all the people that had towels in their head, and okay, let's, you know, let's do that. But, you know, like, eventually we get to show who we are as people, and we unite, yeah, a little bit when tragedy happens, but right away we separate. You know, we're the opposite of the other, of all of the other countries. All the other countries are always in unity. You know, they do everything for each other, and it's a constant unity that they hold together. Only in tragedy, they kind of separate, and we're the opposite. You know, we're always separated, and in tragedy, we come together. You know, again, it just tapped into how weak the Americans are, how predictable we are. You know, like, anybody can really terrorize us. You know, anybody from any country can literally come here and terrorize us with the simplest thing, because we're so caught up in the things that we're doing with that we don't see even the simple stuff. They can leave a bag laid on 42nd Street, and everybody's so busy ripping and running that they don't even see that being there for hours, you know, until the right time that somebody sets it off and the shit goes off. And then it's like, oh, my God, I didn't see where that came from. Mind you, you have, like, millions of cameras pointed everywhere, seeing every, you know, every position, but yet you don't see that. You don't see when people, you know, commit those type of crimes. So who's really committing the crimes? People that are coming out of the country, in the country, or the people that are already in the country that already know us very well as a people and how busy we are and how caught up we are with other things, that those things could, you know, can affect us. All they have to do is shake us up a little bit. Let me throw a bomb here. Let me blow up a car. Boom. Oh, shit, Al-Qaeda, whoever, now we're panicky again, and now we're ready to listen to whatever the government's saying until we get loose again, and they check us again. Boom, let's do something else, and then they check us again. So, no, I don't think that we've grown. I don't think we're any better. I think, you know, it's just continuing to get worse. And there's something bigger to come.
I think there is. I think it's opened up a can of worms. Buzzy, how do you feel about that? Do you feel the country's grown?
Nah, I'm going to have to agree with Emma, what she just said, but I want to actually add to it, and it's just now, like, you just open up more of that racist door, because now you think everybody that's Muslim has something to do with, you know, attacks going on and everything else like that. So now you start being racist towards the Muslims and things like that. And I want to say it actually gets worse, because I was actually looking at the news the other day, and there was a church guy was saying that, I think he said on 9/11, he wants to, like, start burning a whole bunch of Qurans just to send a message. And my thing on that is, you got to realize, like, we still got young women and men out here, Afghanistan, Iraq, all these places, and now you're talking about doing this selfish, foolish, kiddish act. Like, we don't have people over there, so now you're saying, okay, we're going to burn what you believe in, your Bible, basically, and you think that they're just not going to do anything about it. So there's definitely no growing. It's just more childish issues that are coming along, and it's just going to be so many more people dying, which is just more of a tragic. And I really don't see no growth coming anytime soon, if you ask me.
Well, I want to touch base on that statement, because I actually saw that Yahoo News today. It was a gentleman talking about burning Qurans. And, you know, which you said it was childish, which I don't see the justification or the logic in doing that. And at the same time, on 9/11, the World Trade Center was a house to all of different countries, different cultures and everything. So there were Muslims in the World Trade Center that died also, you know. And also being born into the Muslim culture, you know, but I'm more of a spiritual person. I go to church and stuff also, too. But, I mean, in the Quran, it doesn't practice on killing somebody or trying to attack people. You know what I mean? So, I mean, some people, just like, you know, you have people that take certain things in the Bible and you know, they turn it into something evil, you know? You know, you can't blame a whole entire culture because of one, you know, one individual group, you know, one bad seed, you know what I mean? That would say, like, or you could say, that would be messed up to say, like, oh, all Christians are this or whatever, or heathens and stuff. You can't do that, you know what I mean? Because remember, it's a lot of Muslims in this country, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people in this country. It's a lot of Muslims all over the place, and we can't do that. It did open up a can of worms, because after 9/11, I'm telling you, the Muslims that were in the United States were getting persecuted. If you had you can even see the racing comments, even though, you know, sometimes we take humor to it, but it was definitely a slap in the face to some of the people that weren't even Muslim, that might have had just been Indian, and they had turbans on their head. They were getting attacked because of the fact that they had a turban in their head. So apparently they, you know, accused them of being terrorists, you know. And it was a whole wave of panic that went over the United States of America. If you seen one little bag somewhere, you're like, yo, that's a bomb, or this is a bomb, or this is that. Like, people were just straight paranoid, you know,
when 9/11 came. Like, it opened up a can of worms, and it also showed us how fragile the United States is. If somebody can come in and do that to a country that's supposed to be a powerhouse, and come to the country and be a powerhouse like that and destroy it, how could they do it? How could they do that when this is supposed to be the most elite country out there? How could a small somebody come on a plane and attack the United States? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
How can we be able to see? How can we be able to see from the sky? You have things that see all, that look all the way down, and you can see a can buried like 17 miles down into Earth, but you can't use that same camera when you're over there looking for the most wanted man in the world. His tall ass is like 8 feet, and it's with an entourage of like 200 people, and you can't find this man in the desert. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there.
Oh, and we're going to bring this caller in a second, and we got a caller from Jersey. It was actually, let's touch bases on this Quran burning thing. I guess because it comes on the day of 9/11, and I guess he decides he wants to do this mess. So it's basically, he says, it's Christian minister of a small church in Florida canceled on Thursday his plan to burn all Qurans. He was going to have a Quran burning party. Burning copies of Qurans that have been scheduled for Saturday, the 9th anniversary of the 2001 terrorist attack in the United States, the plan to protest that sparked angry demonstration by Muslims around the world. You know, that's a total attack on Muslims in general. You know, because, you know, you got white, black, you know, you got Muslims of all colors and races, you know. And that's crazy. His name, the Reverend Terry Jones, announced his change in his heart at the news conference late Thursday in front of the church of Gainesville, Florida. Jones said he called off the Quran burning protest because he had secured an agreement with Muslim leaders in New York City to move the location of the controversial planned Islamic Center and mosque away from the site of the 2001 terrorist attack known as Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. The American people do not want the mosque there, and of course, Muslims do not want us to burn the Quran. And Terry Jones, the imam, has agreed to move the mosque. We have agreed to cancel our event on Saturday, and on Saturday, I will be flying up there to meet with him. But the New York imam behind the Islamic Center Protect Project issued a written statement stating that there is no deal to move the Islamic Center and the mosque slated to the building two blocks away from Ground Zero. The statement from the imam Faisal Abdul Rafiz denied that any talks are taking place with Jones had no agreement has been reached. Reverend Jones' plans to burn copies of the Quran on Saturday had drawn worldwide condemnation. President Barack Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and numerous religious leaders around the country spoke out against the plan to protest the Earth's previously obscured Florida minister to abandon the idea. Jones spoke in defense of Secretary Robert Gates shortly before the news conference. Pentagon officials says Gates urged the minister not to go ahead with the protest Saturday, arguing that it would put the lives of the U.S. soldiers serving abroad in risk, which is true. I mean, you got the soldiers still over there, you know what I mean, and you want to freaking, you know, start burning Qurans, like you just telling them to go ahead and just kill our soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with these people, you know?
You put a hit on our soldiers' head.
Yeah, you put that. You definitely put a hit on, and I still got battle buddies over there. So, I mean, it's not a game. Like, people, we're talking and we're giving a tribute to 9/11. We're talking about where you were and when 9/11 hit. What were you doing when you got the news? And we're talking about the progress of the United States and also about this minister in Florida that was actually trying to start burning Qurans and stuff. You know, like a Quran burning party. Let's talk about it. Caller from the 201, you're live on Let's Radio Online. What's up, Q? How you doing? Where were you at when 9/11 hit?
I was in North Carolina at the time. Wait, first of all, I'd like to say what's going on. How's everybody doing?
What's up?
going on? Calling, man, calling. 9/11, I was in North Carolina working, and I remember like it was yesterday, you know, because working and like guys on the job just stopped doing what they're doing and turning on the radio and everything, and it's like, they were playing Crash in the World Trade. I'm like, okay, you know, I mean, I wasn't really thinking nothing big about it. And then they said, another plane crashed 5 minutes later. I was like, what? Then, like, another 10 minutes later, it hit the Pentagon. Then another 15 minutes, the one in Pennsylvania went down. I was like, yo, we had war. What's going on? You know, I mean, it had me really messed up because, I mean, I have a lot of friends and family that live in New York. Some that worked in the trade center, I mean, thank God they got out alive and everything. But, I mean, it's like, it just screwed my head all up that day.
Hmm. And how do you feel like, do you feel the country has basically grown from this, or we just opened up more of a can of worms?
You know, I don't think we opened up a can of worms. I think, you know, the security has gotten tighter. In some airports, I mean, in some airports you could just walk through them and they don't do no kind of checking. But I think we've grown, we learned from our mistakes and we tightened up where areas need to be tightened up on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how you feel. I feel like we've opened up a can of worms. And another thing with, you know, this guy even suggesting that he wants to burn Qurans is putting our soldiers in danger. You know, I feel like we haven't grown. I still don't feel security is even tight enough. I feel like there's a conspiracy. I feel like we've just been used as guinea pigs, as we've been used through history, you know, for people to get, people that are sitting in a higher, you know, I mean, you got your girl. I mean, she a black chick and everything, but, you know, your girl, Elisa Rice, Cheney and all of them. All of them got a payoff over the chaos. You know what I'm saying? You barely seen Rice. You barely seen Cheney. All they did was sit back and let all this chaos happen. When they asked them for a press release about what exactly, released the documents about 9/11, they refused to release the documents. They refused to get interviews separately. They wanted to get interviewed together. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was all a setup. You know what I'm saying? It's all a setup. But we got to call
them. You know, They did it for a reason. It's a reason that they did it. I mean, nobody's going to sit here and just say, well, let's crash a plane into the World Trade Center. Let's crash a plane into the Pentagon. You know, it was a reason behind it. And, you know, I mean, we could come with all our own kind of conspiracy theories and everything, but only ones who know why they did it is the ones who did it. You know, people say it was because Bush and the oil. Some people say they tired of America and their country. We don't know. I know I don't know, and I mean I would like to know, but I mean, you know,
me being a soldier that actually was in the midst of all that, they said it was biological weapons. That's what they initially allegedly said they had over there. Which when we went there was nothing there. There were no biological weapons at all. You know, so like, you know, all of that was BS. You know what I mean? They even stated there were no biological weapons. So what did we go over there for? Why were we in Iraq when Al-Qaeda is in Afghanistan?
We used to have patrol over there. I'm telling you.
But that's what you said. You said that, you know, it's conspiracy theories, but that's what you're saying, that there's no thing that could go ahead and say conspiracy theories. But the fact of the matter was that Al-Qaeda is based out of Afghanistan, okay? Al-Qaeda was based in Afghanistan. Why were we in Iraq? Why couldn't we at the same time find Osama so-called bin Laden when we found Saddam Hussein quick and fast in a hurry and we executed him fast so we couldn't even hear what he had to say? This whole thing was a mess. But hold on, we got a caller. We got two callers. Hold on, before we get into that debate, we got a caller from the 347 live in New York, and we got a 202. But 347, where were you at when 9/11 hit, and what were you doing? And do you feel like the country has grown since this event?
Hello.
Yeah. Tuckass,
yeah.
What's
up? What's good, Lush? I was in New York basically at the time. I was in high school. I was a pre-teacher, and I was actually, like, cutting class. And this lady said, do I know where the Pentagon is located? I was like, no, I don't know where the Pentagon is located at. And then I had a class to teach the next period. Then all of a sudden, they told everybody to go home. And when I got on the bus, it was just packed. And then when I saw on the TV, they had like a mom and pop store. The planes keep going through. And then my mom kept calling me, asking me if I was all right. Do I know where my older brother's at? Stuff like that. But it was like devastating. At that time, like being that everybody was going through a bad time, a lot of people was like coming together. Like, you know, New York is known for like people being arrogant, not talking to people, and keeping it moving so fast paced that at that time, like, everybody like slowed down and started talking to each other. Like, that's the first time I've seen that happen since as long as I lived here. So it was a gift and a curse, like, hands down, because there was so much harmony. Everybody looked at each other as brothers and sisters, but at the same time, like, so many people lost their lives. It was just so crazy. I don't think that from that incident, like, it's progressed. So many people, like, are still going through the emotions still to today. Even though it was, like, years ago that it happened, it still feel like it's yesterday. So it's hard to get over, like, death, period. And so many people lost a lot that was jumping out of windows just to be free. Like, it was a lost situation. So,
yo, Steven, jumping out the window, I mean, I want to know if everybody remembers and they recollect when they were showing the horrible pictures of the people jumping out of almost like 6-12 story buildings, jumping out like, oh, I'd rather not suffer, and they just hit the pay. Like, it was, yo, it was horrible, man.
It was a loss. It was sad. Like, I remember, like, vividly, like, the pictures they were showing on TV. Like, they was going in for a week, did a documentary, like, You could see from, like, my roof, you could see the black smoke in the air. Like, it was that thick. And then when you crossing that bridge, you could smell the death. Like, it was that serious. So, like, I remember, like, my mindset and how it was, like, death, like, on a much larger scale. It was just hard to deal with, period. I didn't lose nobody there, but my aunt worked in that area. And so I could have lost somebody. Thank God I didn't, but I think those to all the families that did. I know somebody was in my class who lost their aunt in that situation. So it was just crazy. Like, I probably never want to witness anything that bad to that magnitude ever again in my life. Like, it definitely shapes you to who you are and appreciate life in its whole entirety.
That's what it is. We got Genius Live on the line, who is a fellow soldier like me. You know, Genius, where were you at when you heard the news about 9/11, and do you feel like the country has grown since then?
Well, first of all, shout out to my sister Lush, and shout out to Lush Radio Online. I was actually two blocks away when everything happened on 9/11, and I lost 7 of my family members, you know what I'm saying, and my niece when everything happened, you know what I'm saying? And for me, I mean, I take that personally because it was personal for me, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that hit me hard, you know, because I was there when it happened, you know. But at the same time, it makes me upset because of, you know, the commander-in-chief at the time with Bush, you know, that started all of this madness, because the whole Bush family started the war between Iran and Iraq. You know, the 7-year war that actually happened because of his father. And if it wasn't because of, you know, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have never experienced that. You know, but unfortunately, we had to deal with it. You know, I experienced it firsthand. You know, that's something I never forget. You know what I'm saying? That was an unforgettable moment for me, you know, because I lost family members in that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I give my respects to everybody who lost family members in that. Because there was a lot of family members that was, you know, it was a lot of people that was lost in that. You know, and to see it firsthand, you know what I'm saying? Because I was there and witnessed it, to see it firsthand, to see people, you know, like Les said, they were jumping out of 6 floors there. I mean, you know, the towers went up to over 88 floors, you know what I'm saying? And people was jumping out, you know, from that level, you know, and to see that firsthand is, it's unforgettable moment. That was a great loss, you know what I'm saying? And it could have been prevented. That's the sad thing. But it wasn't, because the people, their advisors who advised them of the situation, they didn't listen to them, you know what I'm saying? We didn't do the necessary things to prevent it, and it could have been prevented, you know?
And the other thing I want to say as a soldier, right, I remember when we had the briefing, when after 9/11, I went to my unit and we had a briefing. And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, intelligence told them prior, before this this situation, that this attack was going to happen. But did people
listen? Yeah, they knew about it. The funny thing is, they knew about what was going to happen 2.5 years before it actually happened. They knew about it. The sad thing is that nothing was done about it. That's the sad thing. Nothing was done about it because they knew about it 2.5 years prior to the fact of it happening, and they never did anything to prevent it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, being a soldier myself, I was a Navy SEAL, you know what I'm saying, still is. You know what I'm saying? A part of my 13 general orders is to take charge of all government property within view. But what actually happened, you know what I'm saying, and who should be actually held accountable, you know, is the actual, you know, officials that was in charge of the airlines, which they were never held accountable because they never reported it. And they, to this day, they were not held accountable, and they should have been held accountable, because if they would have reported it like they were supposed to, those aircraft, I mean, the needs of the one never outweighed the needs of many. Not to say that those people's lives that were on those planes, you know, were invaluable, but the loss of some, as, you know, in comparison to the loss of many, you know, that would never outweigh it. You know what I'm saying? We could have actually took out those airlines, you know what I'm saying, before they actually hit. You know what I'm saying? I used to sit there and say to myself, I wish I was actually on an airline, because there's no way in the world you would have took over an airline of a plane that I was on with a box cutter. You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I don't...
There's no way in four hells I would have took out them people, me personally. I can't speak for anybody else.
Even the amount of the people that were on the plane, you say common sense people, right? Common sense. The amount of people on that plane taking down one person with a box cutter. A box cutter, we know what a box cutter look like. Come on. Like me, myself, I'm not scared of a little cut or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody, or the people could have had ganged up on him and knocked that out of his
hand. I'm going to tell you what's even worse, Fitz. What's even worse is that we knew the people who actually did it, where they were actually trained. You understand what I'm saying? Why wasn't that prevented? And this is why the air traffic control people need to be held accountable, because they trained those people and allowed those people to be in the positions to do the things they did. So where was the security measures in that matter? You understand what I'm saying? That's the thing that makes me upset. You know, because it all could have been prevented, you know what I'm saying? And that's what really makes me upset. Like I said, I take it personal because I lost, you know, personal family members in it, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't done, you know what I'm saying? I don't have no respect for none of the Bushes, period. I ain't even shake their hand when I got my achievement away. You know, I ain't got no love or respect for any of them, you know what I'm saying? Because they actually shook hands and had business deals with all of the people that was in the positions of Al-Qaeda and trained those people and paid those people, because they own the oil companies that are in place. You understand what I'm saying? So I have no love or respect for them. And this coming from a service member.
A lot of them were funded in their training by the United States of America, and our soldiers were sent there. And you know the sad thing about it is?
Well, I was one of them, so I understand.
But listen, right, I went over there when they did the first spill over there, right, when they didn't build up all those forts. Like, Kuwait was cool at that time, right? And then you had they didn't even send anybody out. Everybody was out of Iraq, right? At that time, you know, the facilities was crazy. I mean, it was crazy over there. You got little kids that are only 17 that their parents signed them in and they think they just going to pay for their school and stuff. They going over there and they weren't properly trained. They sent those people over there for a straight massacre. And I'm going to tell you, majority of the people that were in there, they died of friendly fire. Their own soldiers were shooting them because they weren't properly trained.
Yes, because Bush actually pushed people through boot camp without proper training.
Yeah.
And even the commands that was issued, like, you know, and this is just speaking from a Navy standpoint, the majority of the people that was there, you know what I'm saying, they weren't properly trained. You know what I'm saying? It was pushed through, you know, and this was a personal vendetta that Bush actually had. You know what I'm saying? Because they attempted a murder on his father. That was what it was all about. It had nothing to do. Them people who we actually attacked had nothing to do with 9/11. That's the saddest part. You know what I'm saying? The people we actually attacked had nothing to do with 9/11. You know, there were never any weapons of mass destruction, you know what I'm saying, that were evident that were there. You know, in all honesty, we actually possessed weapons of mass destruction. You know what I'm saying? We actually created the issue. This was a personal vendetta, you know what I'm saying, and I hope that they actually listening. You know, this was actually a mission that was actually designated by him. You know, yep. And it's sad that people's lives had to be lost because of some stupidity that was by him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is evidently known. Everything that Bush actually had his hands involved in actually failed. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, even him becoming the president, he actually cheated his way into the presidency. He didn't actually win. He paid people to say that he won and got away with it. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, lives were lost in the process. You said what?
Does anybody want to, you know, touch base on what Genius stated in regards to the whole situation about 9/11?
Yeah, man, so I want to peace, Genius, you know what I'm saying, first off, you know. But I want to agree with him, man, because, you know what I'm saying, like, he's speaking the truth right there. But I was also just thinking, too, as the segments are going on, I don't know if a lot of people seen that movie, Body Alive, but, like, if you want to see how greasy and, like, how dickheadish the government can really be, man, you watch that movie, and it opens your eyes up a little bit to see, you know what I'm saying, like, the little shit they do as far as what you were saying is using people for guinea pigs and shit like that as experiments. And that movie right there, man, that's a good example of what's going on, actually, if you want to ask me.
You know that, and I mean, if you see this movie called V is for Vendetta, that's
one
of my favorite.
Yeah, great movie. Hey, sis. Hey, sis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sis. I got to work because I stepped outside the studio because I wanted to call in and support. You know, I love you to death. So I thought I was, you know what I'm saying, to support you. I got to actually go back in, so I can't really talk. But, you know, I want to end everything with saying that, you know, I have a personal stake in what actually happened in 9/11 that was personal for me. You know what I'm saying? And I think that it should be actually personal for everyone because that could have been anybody's family members. You know what I'm saying? And I would just say this. Do your R&D research, everything that you're involved with, especially our government. You know what I'm saying? Public access and public information. Learn about what you are about, you know what I'm saying? Because if you are a U.S. citizen, then you should know that information and it's publicly available. Learn about it. Don't just believe everything that is displayed to you, you know what I'm saying? And I take my hat off to all of those who serve, you know, currently as well as previously. And I love you, Zell Plus. I try to call in again when I can, all right?
Okay, thank you, babe. I'll see you later.
You're welcome.
All right.
Listen, Lush.
Yeah.
Yo, Lush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to bounce off of here. I got to go to my business and make sure everything's running right. Yo, good topic, and peace out to everyone.
Peace, Q. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. That's what's up, man. But I mean, everybody touched on the true statement, man. Like, I mean, this 9/11 thing is like no joke, man. I mean, because it was chaos, man. It was definitely chaos. I mean, and the one thing that I really hated the media that time was they kept on repetitively showing the pictures graphically, like they were showing in slow motion of people falling off, like they were trying to, like, you know what I'm saying, aggravate us or something, just like brainwash us, you know. And I'm like, yo, why are you doing this stuff to make these people relive what they dealt with? Like, this is terrible. The media was like really freaking assholes that time. They were straight assholes. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the stuff that they just kept on showing it and showing it and showing it and showing it and showing it till you just had to turn your TV off. I can't watch this anymore. You know? And it was just really, really sad. We're going to go to a quick commercial and we'll be right back on Street Queens, the movement. And we're going to talk more and give our final thoughts on, the whole 9/11 and, you know, what do we do now, you know? What is there to come in the years to come? 9/11, we salute all the soldiers and everybody that lost their lives in 9/11. We drive right back on Street Queens, the movement. Positive people doing positive things.
If you're looking for that hot studio, man, you trying to drop your lyrics, man, get your mixing and mastering on, get your recording on, man, and you're tired of all those cats just standing you up and you don't know what to do, then you need to holler at Team Studios. Team Studios at 752 East 137th Street between Willow and Bruckner Boulevard, Bronx, New York, 10454. Call them at 347-726-22221, you know what I'm saying? And make sure that you log into the website at www.teamentertainment.net. Follow them on Twitter at TeamENT1. Don't forget, they open 24 hours, 7 days a week. I'm talking about they got room to rent. You looking for an office to get your whole internet radio going on? Or maybe you might even want to do something in there. I don't know what it is. You might even want to have a house party. I don't know. But you know what it is. 7 days a week, man. They got room to rent. Room to rent, man. Get your business together. Get your professionalism on. Make sure you holler at Team Studios. Team Studios, man. The hottest place in the
Make sure you check out Teen Studios because you already know what it is. Teen Studios is definitely going down. We're going to be live Friday in Teen Studios. We're going to have Fred the Godson. He is coming through in the studio. And we're going to have Castro coming in through the studio. And a couple of special guests. Saturday, we're going to have Cuban Link live in the building with our girl Emma of E2K at E2K on the Spot. He's going to be live in the building along with Celebrity Chef. He's going to be live in the building. So don't forget to tune in this week. It's going to be on and popping. And we got some surprises for you guys. Don't forget, October 2nd is going down with DJ Truth. Birthday, Celebrity Birthday Bash, Special Radio Online. Emma, me and Emma will be live there broadcasting live in Club Rome. And also October the 16th is going down. Another Lush Radio event with DJ Truth is going down in the DMV. So stay posted. Artists, if you want to perform live for our open mic, make sure you RSVP to CEO Lush Radio Online at gmail.com if you would like to perform live. And don't forget to call in on our drop call number and leave us, you know, your shout outs and leave a message for any one of our hosts on Lush Radio Online. I guess Emma can give you out a drop call line later on the show. And like I said, guys, you got any final thoughts or anything to touch bases on that? And also the minister that wanted to burn the Korans and stuff like that, Emma?
All I got to say is that, you know, every time September 11 comes along, somebody radical wants to do some radical shit. And, you know, they're not really thinking it through. I'm glad that Obama sent somebody over there to put, you know, sense on his nonsense ass. Because he's supposed to be a righteous person. He's representing, you know, or supposed to represent some type of spiritual situation, and he's, you know, he's talking about burning the Quran. Like, I really don't know what is that, what's that supposed to bring back or do or whatever. You're just burning a book. You're not burning people's idea. You know, so it's like if you burn the Bible, I've already read it. I already know what's in there. Whatever is my belief is my belief. You burning the Bible is not going to change the way I think. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think in burning the Quran you're going to change the way people that have already read it and studied it and know it back and forth are going to change their ideas or how they feel about certain things. So I, to me, he just went about it the wrong way. It's always better to educate than to, you know, to attack people with hate. Because with hate, people are not listening. People don't, are not comprehending. And people don't make a change with hate. So he just went about it the wrong way. He needs to sit down and study some, you know, some spiritual scriptures some more. And just, you know, this is radical nonsense, like I said, that happens right always before the 11th. It's always something. And, you know, it's just a shame. But Obama put his phone way up in his ass, and he already canceled that, so I'm glad that happened.
Evan, this is just hard body. Hey, yo, Evan, hey, yo, Evan, kill me, yo.
I try to say peaceful in my show, so I act up everywhere else.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's you, and you see Obama got a Bigfoot, too, so he put that phone all the way up.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it was really crazy. It was really, really crazy. Buzzy, you wanna basis on what Emma just stated and stuff like that, and final thoughts on that whole situation with the guy burning the Bibles and just, you know, 9/11 in general.
Yeah, I don't think he thought that through. I think he might have just been hot-headed at the time, you know what I mean? And I don't know what he thought he was going to accomplish out of doing it. Like, I really don't. Like, sometimes I sit and think, like, what do people think when they say or do certain things? And I don't know. I agree with her about that Obama thing. But my thing is, like, I don't know if nobody said nothing to him and he went through with that, I think there would have been a plane in his church. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's right to do things like that. But honestly, what do you think would happen if you did something like that? So I don't, like I said, that's just childish. Definitely don't agree with anything he said or his plans for that. Glad he canceled it. Hope he does cancel it, and I hope he doesn't burn one in his backyard for ignorance. As far as 9/11, man, my heart still goes out to everybody that lost somebody still dealing with it, you know what I mean? And it's crazy. I'm always going to be reminded by 9/11 because my nephew was born on that day. So anytime his birthday come around, man, you know, my thoughts go out and think about that. So, I mean, just everybody that's dealing with pain about it, you know what I mean, just keep your head high, man, you know. And all I can say is just live for the rest of the days that we have out here, man. Every day is a blessing to wake up with a breath of life.
I just want to say that, you know, I think dude woke up and he's like, yee-haw, let's go out there and burn up some Qurans, you know what I'm saying? Let's get up on our horses and go burn up some Qurans. Like, what the hell were you thinking, dude? Like, stop smoking whatever you were smoking. Were you eating mushrooms or something? And you're a pastor? Like, you're a reverend? Like, get out of here, dude. Like, get out of here. Where they do that at? You know what I'm saying? Like, you make no sense. And I hope you never even think about stupid thoughts like that ever again in your life. We're trying to preserve the soldiers that we do have right now, you know, that are in this this hostile environment right now. We do not want to put our soldiers in danger. I'm a fellow soldier myself. I'm a veteran. I would never want to anybody to go through, you know, seeing people getting blown up, you know, babies getting blown up. I mean, the stuff that happened over there was terrible. People still to this day still have nightmares about it. You know, this, you know, it's terrible, and I would not want anybody to suffer or any families to go through, you know, that whole situation. 9/11 was a tragedy, and I hope that, you know, as every day that we mark and remember 9/11, that we learn how to basically be able to work together and really open our minds to really see what the government is actually doing to us, you know. And, you know, let's not be, you know, naive of what's going on, you know.
The government has a bigger plan, and there's more to come. But we have to be prepared, and we have to be ready for whatever comes to us. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just pray for all the families, all of my soldiers that are in the Army, and all my Navy, all everybody that's in the military. Do what you do, you know. And I'm just really proud of all of you guys, you know, out there definitely working with one another and supporting our soldiers. And thank you for listening to Street Queens, the movement, you know. I'm definitely proud of you guys, you know, just coming through and expressing your thoughts on 9/11, Emma and everybody that came through, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, this is a really touchy situation for everyone. You know, but I guess, you know, we can talk about our new news. Anything new for you guys that you guys want to put out there? Emma, I know you want to give updates and everything about what's going on this weekend for you on your side.
Wow. It's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We'll be headed to New York tomorrow, which is Lush and I will be out there. In the BX, I'm out there every weekend. Lush is out there every 2 weekends. We have our headquarters, Lush Radio headquarters in the Bronx. We've been out there since July, grinding. I know everybody's, you know, seeing it on the Twitter, on the Facebook. We're going hard in the paint. There's a lot of managers, publicists that are getting at us to book people on the show. We're making that, you know, possible. We're making things happen. It's just a better situation every weekend. Our drop hotline, in case you can't make it to the studio and you want to submit your drop for any of the shows on Lush Radio Online or for Lush Radio Online as a whole, make sure you call 206-312-4738. Again, the number is 206-312-4738. You can just call in and leave your drop for myself, MA2K, 42K on the spot, or TDI, or Lush, or like I said, or just a general, you know, you're tuning in or you're listening to Lush Radio Online so we can be able to play it through the course of the week on any of the shows. Fred the Godson has confirmed this week with us. He will be live on Friday on the set. Lush will be interviewing him. We'll be on Saturday with E2K on the spot. I will have Cuban Links will be coming through. I will be having celebrity chef Lewis will be coming through and his artist called Mega. So, you know, this weekend is popping. Sunday we're going to an event that we still can't disclose this yet, but we will let you know afterwards. And Monday, you know, you already know it's, you know, the Jay-Z and Eminem situation at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, New York stand-up, BX stand-up, you know, it's going to be history in the making. The first rappers ever performing in the new Yankee Stadium, because the old one, I don't even think that ever happened. And definitely they're the first one in the new one now. So, you know, we will be there, history in the making. And, you know, reporting back to you guys. So that's pretty much the new news that's happening right about now.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And, Bugsy, do you have any updates or anything like that?
Yeah. Hopefully soon, a few weeks. I should be touching down out in New York. You know, I'm able to travel now. I got a shout-out to my dude, Kid Novice, out there. We're going to link up, do a couple of joints, and, shout out to Louis No Fronts. He hit me up too. Told me when I'm out there, check him. Shout out to Drag. So I'm actually link up with them. And I don't know, a while back I told y'all about the mixtape. I actually scratched that because I was just going to do it for fun. But to be honest with everybody listening, since I've been, you know, showing love with Lush and just linking with Lush, man, she just got my mind on a whole different track. So I'm actually sit down and just get this mixtape like a real feeling and just start writing a couple of joints. I got a female friend of mine I haven't talked to in a while. I've been talking to her recently, and she's been on her joint. And I've heard her drop a couple of lines of what she's been writing, and she's got a joint. So I might be taking her under the wing and, you know, getting her out there as well. So everybody that was actually waiting for that mixtape I scratched, because I was just going to do like I normally do for fun, just going in bullshit. But thanks to Lush, man, she got your boy on a different track, and I'm actually going to get the people something that they can really, really rock with. So I just want to say thank you for that, Lush.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
he's trying to make me cry over here. He's trying to make me cry.
Yeah, why not? You be trying to do it to other people. Oh wait, I just want to cut in real quickly. I forgot on another announcement for September 14, which is Tuesday, at Club SOB's. They're having a fundraiser for our friend that passed away, Sano Victor Rosa, whoever don't know, SOB's is located at 200 Varick Street. On New York, 10014. That's Tuesday, September 14th at SOB's. It's a night to commemorate the life of Sano N. People that are performing there is La Bruja, you have 950 Plus, T-Weapon, Thurston Howell III, The Underdog, Jay Sun. I know co-hosting is going to be D Vasquez. So it's going to be a lot of people, a lot of people he put on to the game. Is coming in definitely and doing their ones and twos for him. This money is going for his wife that he left behind and his three daughters. So please make sure whoever's, in that SOB area on Tuesday, please go out there and support, whether you want to see the performance that's going on or you just want to support Sano, whoever knew him. He put a lot of people on, especially in the underground, especially in the Latin community. He put up a stage for these people to come in and perform, people like Joel Ortiz and people that are on now. So, don't forget where you came from. Everybody go over there and pay homage. And that's at SOB's on Tuesday, September 14th.
That's what's up. We got a caller from the 718 live on Lush Media Online. What's up, 718? Tell us your name and where you calling from. 718?
Hello?
Hello, what's up, 718?
What's up?
What's up, who's this?
This LG.
What's up, LG, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. Nah, my boy just told me to holler at him. Yep, in here.
Oh, you talking about, are you talking about Bugsy?
He's over some rapper.
My nigga,
Dave. Did
you want to say David from Max TV? That's what you want to see back in the
background.
Yo, Diamond, put that shit on mute, yo.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yo, my phone is like somebody else on the phone right now. But what's up, though? What's going on up there?
Oh, nothing. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, because we were closing out the show. We were basically...
Oh, that's LG calling out. That's LG calling out the DX.
Okay, that's what's up, DX. And we were talking and paying tribute to 9/11 and talking about where you at when 9/11 hit.
I wasn't even in on the topic. I was just told to call.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in, but where were you at when you heard the news about 9/11?
I was probably in a probation building.
Wow, okay. So how was
that?
Shout out
to that. Yeah, that is not funny.
Okay, well, we thank you for calling. All right. Wow. Okay. It never fails. Even one side of the blue moon, we always get some crazies calling. I don't know. But thanks for calling.
Yes. I guess 9/11 gets everybody crazy a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. But anyway, we want to thank everybody for calling in, showing love, and we wrapping it up. You know what I'm saying? Keep winning. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Don't always believe what the government says. And, research everything. Don't settle for what the government or what they tell you you can or what you can and cannot do. Research and find out. They only tell you what they want you to hear, And stand up for whatever you believe in. Go hard for whatever you're doing, and don't give up. Me and Emma started off with an idea, and We've been able to inspire people along our road of living, and we want you to go out and be a change maker and be a history maker yourself, and go out and inspire somebody else, help somebody else other than yourself in your life, and let's work together. Let's make money. Let's do things. You know, that's what I have to say. How many of you got final closing thoughts for the people out there?
I got some thoughts, but I ain't gonna say them. All I am gonna say is that to my positive people and the people that are, you know, are trying to walk on the righteous path and that are leaders, not the followers. I'm speaking to the leaders, you know, not the people that are following what everybody's telling them to do. But those leaders that get up and decide, you know, this is what I'm going to do today and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and they do it. You know, the hard part is getting up and dealing with it every day, living it, getting up every day and doing something about it, as opposed to just, you know what I'm saying, you're on cloud nine and you're saying, damn, I wish I could be doing this or I wanted to do that or, you know, I wanted to accomplish this. It's never too late and we're never too old, you know, as long as every day you get up and you can, you know, draw breath and you can be thankful for another day. There's people in worse off situations. I got people bidding for the rest of their lives and never coming home. They can never have a Thanksgiving dinner with their families or Christmas with their children. You know, I got dudes that go in and leave babies and come out, you know, now they're grandfathers, you know, because their kids already done grew up and have kids of their own. So, you know, when you think you in a bad situation, there's always someone in a worse predicament. You know, there's young kids, the missing arm and a leg, you know, they can't do half the things that you can do. But you can still rip and run. And, you know, you mad because you couldn't buy a pair of new sneakers that week. I mean, it just, you know, just got to put things in perspective and just be thankful for the smallest thing, you know, for family, for friends, that you can be able to eat, you know, and actually chew the food with your own teeth. There's people that can't do that. They gotta get fed through straws. Again, it always can be worse. So just be thankful, you know, for the life that you live and stop trying to live other people's life. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Shoo, and stop feeling sorry for yourself, for real. What's your final thoughts to tell the people out there, Bugsy?
I think Emma hit everything, but I want to tell the people out there that be stressing, man. Like, I tell a lot of people this one. Like, stressing over certain situations, man, it never really helps you. You know what I mean? It just makes things worse, and it's not really too good for your health. And you got to think about it. That time you spend in stressing, you could spend that time making a plan and figuring out something, you know what I mean, that'll benefit and help you out for whatever you're going through. And, you know, it's always better to talk to a friend than stressing too. You know what I mean? You need somebody to talk to, I'm pretty sure. You got to have a good friend with that shoulder that you can lean on. So to all the people out there stressing over small things and even big things, you know what I mean, you got to let the stressing go because that never helps anything. And just, you know what I'm saying, just grab it by the horn and just live life to the fullest.
Yeah, and definitely I just say, if nobody told you they love you today, whatever you're going through, God might not come when you want it, but he's always on time. Make sure that you keep God first. Make sure that you keep on believing that when there's a will, there's a way, and all you can do is keep on trying. And you know how they said about the government and all that. You know, rest in peace, Michael Jackson. He said, you know, he did the song, kick me, beat me, everybody, you know, all that stuff, you know. They don't really care about it. They really don't. But we do at Street Queens, the movement, and we're going to continue caring. We're going to continue touching people's lives, and we're going to continue touching everybody through Lush Radio, everything that we have going on here. You know, if you can take from this and it can help you in your life, we've accomplished our job. And we just want to tell you guys that we love you, and whatever you need, call us, man. Leave our jobs on.
Not if they need any money. Don't be calling us for that shit. Give us money. I'm calling you for no damn money.
We are not your financial bank. You know, we help people that cannot help themselves. But most of you guys can help yourself. So, you know what I mean? Let's Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, E2K on the spot, the whole squad. We love you. We salute. And we out of here. And like Eminem said, don't be afraid. You know, and hopefully me and Eminem will be seeing Eminem, hopefully, by God's grace. We'll be seeing him. And you know, you'll see those pictures.
Man, don't mess up.
Yo. Throw them X's up, man. Not afraid, and we out of here. Salute. Street Queens, the movement, man. Don't be afraid of nothing, man. The only thing you should be afraid of is God. Peace.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. Been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one.